Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the juice right there. There is the juice. That is
lots
our
juice.
Football Friday music coming in. Coming in hot. Week four.
Woo.
We flush week three.
And
week four is here. Good to be with you on a Football Friday. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Happy Football Friday.
We need a better lead into Football Friday in terms of the Thursday night football that gets us ready for Football Friday.
Right.
That, look, I'm not here to pile on an old man. I think that Al Michaels would be just fine if he had an actual NFL commentator next to him in the booth. Kirk Herbstreit is eminently likable, but I don't need to know where every single player played in college. That's cool. It's cool that you know that. All right. That's great. I would prefer that when Daniel Jones grossly underthrows Malik Nabers or anybody else, that actually pay attention to that instead of like, oh, by the way, at Southwest Alabama State, he was a 3-time academic All-American.
There was a tweet last night somebody put up that said, like, they did like a script of the two of them talking to each other, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, and Al Michaels, these referees keep throwing these damn penalty flags, Herbstreit. Devin Singletary went to Florida Atlantic University.
You've got two different guys. You've got one play-by-play guy who's at the end of his career, and like he's earned it. I think you like hearing Al Michaels' voice. Yeah. He has still little nuggets here and there, and little jabs that are really, really funny. But Kirk Herbstreit, it just feels like this is something he's got to get out of the way before he starts his real job.
Which is weird because he's probably getting paid a boatload of money to do it. I mean, I would imagine so. Yeah, I mean, he's having to go to these places on Thursday that I'm guessing are not anywhere near, at least last night. I can't remember last time they did game day in the metropolitan New York City area. So he's having to get on plane. Granted, private planes, but get on planes, and you know, it's travel. You know, it's a lot. So I would guess he's getting paid a pretty penny. Yeah, I'm with you. The Thursday night, it's going to be a fun football weekend. Make no mistake about it.
Oh yeah,
if Saturday and Sunday are the buffet, you know, where we're just gorging on football, Thursday should be a pleasant appetizer. You know what I mean? Like, it should be something tasty, and it's like the waiters and waitresses were walking out with just like trays of dog turds on it last night.
The college game day is in Tuscaloosa. And I don't know what the storm situation, how that'll affect possibly the Alabama area or not, but that'll be potentially interesting.
Yeah. It's bad down there right now. So thoughts and prayers.
Last night was just sloppy all around, and I don't think you can blame Thursday night football for it on this one. This is what these two teams are this season, the Cowboys and the Giants. Really, the Cowboys with zero excuses for not destroying a team like the Giants by 21 to 28 points, I would say. I think on the depth charts, with the potential, the capacity for big plays, everything else like that, that was a moribund football game we watched last night.
Well, it was, and the Giants actually moved the football better than the Giants had more total yards than the Cowboys last night.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, this is not new to the Cowboys this season. There's no, and I don't think Cowboys fans last night are like, yeah, now we're on track.
Now
take that NFC East. You're on notice.
The Cowboys are, they're going to struggle to make the playoffs in the NFC. I think we're seeing early on, the NFC is probably a little more feisty than we thought it was during the offseason. You know, there's some teams early on here in the NFC that are showing up that we didn't expect to. Last night, I think Daboll caught a lot of heat for just kicking a field goal down 14-9 when they had fourth and goal at the 3-yard line.
Yeah,
And they hadn't scored a touchdown yet in that game. And the Cowboys with 11 penalties. I almost felt like they were tampering with Laremy Tunsil with all the penalties they were getting. Like, almost like they were putting together an infomercial for Laremy. Like, hey, because they have a rookie left tackle right now. Like, hey, Laremy, It's okay if you want to come here, buddy. Look, we commit 11 penalties also.
By the way, the O-linemen are master propagandists, and I can see that the Laramie Tunsil crew's been working on some media members because people are saying that, like, oh, this is just what good offensive tackles do. They try to time the snap count. So I wanted to be sure. Laramie with his, is it 7 false starts already this season? I thought it was 6.
It's 10 penalties total. I don't know the breakdown. I think it is 2.
So just to be sure, I went back to look at the last couple seasons of all-pro offensive tackles.
Oh, what'd you find out?
In the entire season of 2023, Trent Williams had 3 false starts and Penei Sewell had 2.
They're good, right?
These are the all pros the last couple years.
Yeah.
So in 2022, Trent Williams had 4 false starts for the entire season.
Yeah.
Lane Johnson had 2. So the notion that somehow you just got to false start if you want to be good in pass protection, then no. Plus, the thing I would point about those 3 players there is that they actually give a damn about run blocking, which tends to also help with overall team success.
Yeah, like nobody's saying Laramie is trash. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are people saying that. They're stupid. Nobody's saying Laramie's trash because he false starts all the time. It's he's not at the level that he thinks he's at because he false starts all the time.
I wouldn't call anybody stupid for having any negative opinion about Laramie Tunsil because it's so overpowering, and when you're watching the game, and last week's game too, Sean, I spent way too much time digging through drive charts yesterday because of Laramie Tunsil and the offensive line specifically.
What'd you find out?
Well, last week it was just, I just wanted to go through in my mind, the real problem was it was 3 consecutive drives in the first half that were killed by offensive line penalties.
Yes.
Tunsil's false start that made it a 3rd and 12, the 3 straight penalties on the offensive line, 4 if you count the one that was declined, that knocked them out of field goal range, and then a Tunsil false start that made it 3rd and 15, and then a punt. 22 drives in the last 2 games by the Texans offense. 11 of them were ended. 11 drives ended without a field goal or with a punt or with a turnover. 11 of them ended with either a sack and or a offensive line penalty.
Yeah.
And it's the offensive line is the numero uno issue on this football team right now.
We'll lay that all out in the next segment when we start to get ready for Jacksonville with the 6-pack in the next segment. The other thing I would add to those Laramie Tunsil false starts in last week's game, Seth, that you're talking about, one that made it, the first one you named, I forget what the distance was, 5-yard penalty.
It went from 3rd and 7 to 3rd and 12.
3rd and 12, and then the last one went from, I think you said, 3rd and 10 to 3rd and 15. Both those plays negated first down catches, too. It's not like CJ dropped back and they ran the ball and made it 4th and 4 or something like that. One was a big chunk play to Xavier Hutchinson, the other was a big chunk play to Tank Dell. So it was double whammy is a good way to put that. Speaking of the wide receiver position, we know that Tank is likely out for this weekend. He didn't practice yesterday. What do we make of Nico Collins popping up on the injury report yesterday?
I wasn't a fan of that.
Limited with a hamstring. Yeah.
I thought that was a bad move by Nico Collins. Nico, who's been really good against zone coverage, all this stuff that is the excuse for why the Texans don't have this explosive passing attack. Nico, it's a classic, like, okay, yeah, but except for Nico, just throw it up to him. And, they're playing cover two. Okay, no big deal. Just throw it to Nico anyway.
Yeah.
So Nico's been the antidote for a lot of that, since the Texans can't run the ball worth a damn.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal, obviously, if Nico's not out there.
Yeah. What do you do? All of a sudden, anybody who was worried about Diggs' number of targets the first couple of weeks, that was a big hand-wringing moment the first couple of weeks of the season. Yeah, they're 2-0, but Stephon Diggs only has 12 short little catches for like 78 yards. What are we going to do? This is one way to get Diggs his targets. No Tank and potentially no Nico as well. He'll get targeted plenty on Sunday. If that's what you've been looking for, this is going to be your... Well, I mean, look, hey... Good thing they traded for Stephon Diggs, you know? we'll see. I don't know.
I'm taking that in. Yeah. I'm just thinking about the whole, wow. And looking back on the Stephon Diggs trade, you know, you'd think, oh, yeah, that's a chance to have a freakishly good offense.
Intergalactic, show on space turf. Age, yeah.
Yeah, greatest show in a retractable dome stadium, whatever you want to call it. And if it ends up being like, well, at least he had Diggs. Well, everybody else was injured and you couldn't run the ball. Diggs caught 20 catches for 83 yards against the Jaguars. Great.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm not putting Nico on the shelf yet. He wasn't out yesterday. He was limited with the hamstring. So he did practice yesterday.
Sounds like it was something that came up during practice.
Maybe.
And he told the trainers about it afterwards, right? Because it was after the initial injury report.
Yeah.
And,
he was added to it. Yeah.
Hopefully it was just a little bit of stiffness or tightness and they're being extra careful about it.
Yep. There you go. So, yeah, that's a good point. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't practice. My prediction, Nico doesn't practice today, listed as questionable. That's my official
Nico
prediction.
Nico doesn't practice, but we can't read too much into it.
Right, right. He'll be listed as questionable. He'll be listed as something. Text message early on. Trash is a bit much, but definitely not worth the contract, talking about Tunsil. I can entertain that. But the people who are like, he's trash, get rid of him, cut him. Like, what are we doing?
I don't like treating those people dismissively because I understand exactly how they're, like, that's how I felt during the game in the first half. I was just, get rid of him, this is BS. Because a lot of this is the problem. And we'll hear from Slowick talk about this. It's indicative of a whole lot of other sloppiness.
Yeah.
And when your alpha dog that's getting paid more than anybody else is sloppy himself, it sets a bad example. It's one of those things that just filters down to everybody else. You walk into, a colonel is inspecting his troops, and the guy that's supposed to be the best guy in the unit is all sloppy, disheveled, not paying attention. It makes you wonder exactly, all right, how are the rest of these guys?
Right. He's supposed to be the tone setter here. I got you. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Texans, Jags, noon kick Sunday. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I have Texans Countdown just outside the stadium. Come by and see us. That starts at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Let's get to the six-pack here. Let's lay out six things for the game on Sunday that you need to keep an eye on between the Texans and the Jags, including something that we've already touched upon here in the open that will be big. This is a big week to see if D'Amico Ryan's message is getting through to his football team, particularly in one area. We will have that for you coming up next.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Last week we didn't play well. At the end of the day, that's all it came down to. We didn't play well. We had some good moments where we executed, made some nice plays, but they were negated by us. So it's very hard to win, again, when you got the Texans and the Vikings playing against the Texans. That's pretty hard to win that game. So once we get the Texans out of the way and we just go focus on our opponent and we handle us well, then we'll be just fine.
All right, the big bounce back in that from that perspective. We will get a good referendum on Sunday, Seth, if the message from the coaching staff is getting through. Because as actual players pointed out, coming off of those first two wins, where there was plenty to fix, and they didn't fix much of it going into that Minnesota Vikings game.
I don't know
what was going on the week leading up to the Vikings game, but at least with certain parts of this team, the message did not get through.
Right, yeah. And that's, again, where it's kind of a canary in the coal mine in terms of just, all right, overall sloppiness in general, missed assignments on the offensive line, all of these things that lead to sloppy, underperforming football. I think the Texans have been guilty of that really for three straight games. And that's where after those first two victories, I don't think many Texans fans felt like, yeah, that was the team I thought they could be. Yep, that's exactly the team. Really, in those first two games especially, it felt like, okay, they're winning the battle down in and down out physically, but man, they're just shooting themselves in the foot, or they're just not quite getting it. And all of that really comes to roost when you play against what's probably genuinely a good football team in the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep, for sure. All right, so let's get to what they need to do, what to keep an eye on, keys to the game on Sunday. Noon kickoff, Texans-Jags. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll six-pack this thing. Let's start with number one. Playing off of what D'Amico just said, enough with the penalties. D'Amico semi-promised, kind of promised. Promised enough where if he were my parent and I was an 8-year-old, I'd be like, hey, you promised. This was D'Amico talking about the addressing of the pre-snap penalties.
Pre-snap definitely has been addressed. Well, again, we spent time on that, talked about it. We addressed it, and we'll see on Sunday that it's been addressed, and we'll handle it really well. Offensive line had a great day at work today. Everybody's dialed in. Everybody understands who we are, what we're about, and what it's going to take for us to get back on track, and that's what we're focused on.
Okay, well, the last 2 weeks, you've been about 23 penalties for over 200 yards. So
yeah, they're not aggressive penalties a lot of the times. It's just all this whole pre-snap
right.
operation.
I could deal with it if someone was getting bloody in the process.
The other thing that keeps coming up, some of the O-line propaganda that comes up, because they're devious, these offensive linemen, and they put it out to their media members and everything, and then the media members recite it because they're trusting souls. That it's not just the penalties; it's the missed assignments, but the excuse, one excuse cannot be crowd noise, because the Texans handled the crowd noise in Minnesota worse than most teams handle crowd noise. So it's what happens is whatever issues you have, they get writ large when you add crowd noise to it. It's like somebody with a bad personality when they get drunk. You're like, you don't blame it on them being you don't blame it on the alcohol completely. You're right. Like, okay, yeah, it made him worse.
Yeah.
But he's also a jerk
right.
When he's stone cold sober.
It amplifies.
Yeah. So that's what the Texans offensive line, they were a sloppy offensive line, but also drunk last Sunday.
Drunk on noise. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully maybe they can at least be sober and also improved in general. Don't be a jerk on Sunday.
And by the way, 9 penalties is not an improvement in my eyes. Like, you need to play a clean game, okay? I know technically, mathematically, it's an improvement, but, like, that's... No, you're still a sloppy team. Like, you're beyond sloppy these last 2 weeks. I don't want improvement from 11 down to 10. I want a clean football team is what I want.
It's the types of penalties. Pre-snap penalties. Yeah. I spend way too much time on NFLpenalties.com these days. I'm turning into HOA Florio, man. I really am. I'm like, well, you've had 7 of this type of infraction. You've had 3 of this other. Well, you've had very few actually like respectable penalties, like a good old-fashioned holding or a legal man downfield or something.
Is that a real website? NFLpenalties.com?
Oh, you bet your ass it is. Excuse my language. Yeah.
No, we needed that. We need that for emphasis.
You want to look at my Chrome history, Brandy?
God, no. All right.
I got Sean and Brandy going through my browser history all the time.
It's sitting there together with a pointer like, oh, God, what was going on there? Let's get to number two. They got to run the ball, man. And I don't know. Oh. Joe Mixon is out. I was hearing reports earlier this week that Damian Pierce is trending towards playing. He hasn't practiced yet this week. Let's hear from Bobby Slowick. Why has the O-line not shown consistency yet in the run game?
I think there's a lot of reasons for that. The number one reason would be the same thing. I mean, we could probably count on one hand the amount of times we're doing what we're supposed to do. And in the run game, that's a problem. I mean, we had unblocked players tackling us for 4-yard losses. That's not how you draw it up. You know what I mean? So we got to go execute.
He said later in the, I don't know, it was later or earlier in the press conference where he's like, he basically just kind of paused, like, we just got to play better.
Yeah. I mean, because it came up. I'm doing a little montage of the times he said we have to execute better.
Yeah.
It really is. I think if I'm Bobby Slowick getting up there to defend myself, it's getting increasingly like that. He's
under siege as he's been since he got here.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
And I know some listeners don't like this opinion of mine. My opinion has been that the play calling itself has been just fine. Mm-hmm. It's in it, but the thing that still falls back on him as a coordinator is they're not executing the plays that he's calling properly, and it makes everything else look that much worse. There's so many times where there's nothing wrong with this play call. It's that you've got one guy out of position, you got another guy getting his butt kicked, you've got, you know, or the play gets negated. Multiple explosive plays last week were negated because of penalty. Yep. The play calling in and of itself, I don't have an issue with right now. There's just nothing you can do play calling wise if guys aren't going to execute it. And that still does go back to Bobby Slowik. He's not trying to absolve himself by saying they need to execute better. That's still on him. It's just, I don't think it's the play calling that's the problem.
The Jags against the run. Trayvon Walker's been very good against the run for them this year. The former number one overall pick.
He's
not Aiden Hutchinson, who went with the second pick in that draft.
The Jags have not been playing well, so I'm trying to go through and find areas and spots where they are good. They theoretically have the ability to rush the passer. They just haven't been that good at it.
Yep.
Trayvon Walker hasn't developed into Aiden Hutchinson by any stretch of the imagination, but he is still a big, strong dude who's very stout versus the run. And this is a team in the Texans. When I go through these ESPN run block win rates, the Texans' offensive line is 30th. So, yeah, the Jaguars are no good. All right, well, Trayvon Walker has been pretty good versus the run, and you guys have stunk.
Right. There are probably parts of the Jags, like the very specific parts of the Jags, that are looking at this as a get-right game. Like, if I'm playing on the... the Jags as a whole can't be. I mean, I know they're 0-3. Like, the Texans are not... Texans being a touchdown underdog at NRG Stadium is not a get-right game. But I got to imagine that the guys on that defensive front watched that Texans offensive line last week and the previous week, and were like, okay, we can get some things done on Sunday that we haven't been able to get done this year, maybe, you know?
There's a cut from Bobby Slowik later we'll play that agitated me a little bit when talking about the run game. He said, hey, well, you know, Cam Akers only ran the ball 9 times, so you can't tell much from that. And that's a little bit like, well, yeah, I mean, that's like saying, like, don't judge my work record because I only showed up to work 9 times. You know, that's not a good sample size. You know, like,
God bless
you. Sure, and it's Homer Simpson. Be like, well, don't blame all the nuclear meltdowns on me.
Right.
Only 2 of them happened on the 9 days I showed
there
up.
There you go. There you go. Let's get to number 3. This is another O-line topic, but you got to protect C.J. Stroud, and particularly if you're going in super undermanned at wide receiver. If you're going in with guys that, you know, can't beat man coverage or, you know, find the soft spots in the zone where C.J. knows he can get rid of it quickly, and he knows where Tank is going to be, and he knows where Nico is going to be. They've got that chemistry there. Diggs is going to play. Obviously, he's fully healthy. But the other two, Nico limited with a hamstring, and Tank hasn't practiced all week. And they just purely forget about who the wide receivers are. Just, you know, purely empirically, they've not protected C.J. well the last couple of weeks. He was sacked 4 times for 42 yards. Too many times, really, in the first 3 games. He's been forced out of the pocket and forced to run around. There's been clutter in the pocket. I mean, Brian Flores was just pounding the blitz button on them last week. C.J. Stroud with time is one of the top 3 or 4 quarterbacks in football. Like, he's
right,
you know.
And I think even last week, C.J. made some great plays, some of them negated by penalties that were done under duress. The ball came out very fast. There's only one place you could have gone with the ball on that play, and it was a tight window throw, and he did it. And I'm, you know, C.J. would never claim that he played great last week or anything, but I think if he had played that way with actually good things happening around him, I think it could have been a great performance.
Yes.
You know, they still did it. They had over 300 yards passing, and it wasn't you can say, okay, well, some of that was playing from behind or what have you. C.J. wasn't the issue. I'm not at that point yet where I'm saying, oh, yeah, well, typical sophomore slump.
No.
I don't think it's that.
No,
I don't
no.
think that's the case whatsoever.
No. I mean, he's got another level he can get to, but he ain't the problem right now for sure. Number 4, heat up pretty boy Trev, man. Heat up this long-haired pretty boy dude who hasn't won a game since week 12 at NRG Stadium last season.
There's a really good spot in Matt Burke's presser yesterday. The audio's not great. I'll probably tweet this out with captions or something, where I think Cody Stutes was starting a question. I don't know who it was. Somebody was asking a question, and he prefaced it by saying, the last time Trevor Lawrence won a game was last year here in Houston. And Perk is funny. Perk kind of raises his eyebrows a little and goes, oh, good for him.
I didn't see that. I can just picture Matt Burke, though. That sounds funny.
I could see it. And then there was a huge laugh. And I think Burke meant it more from a self-deprecating way.
For sure. I can tell you that.
I don't want to put it out, but it's so funny. But if I put it on social media, I think it's going to be interpreted as shade that he's throwing. I think he meant it self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Like, ah, oh, great.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
But I think Jaguars fans might feel differently.
And he being Trevor Lawrence, was outstanding in that game. He threw for 364 yards. So he hadn't even, I don't even know if he's had a good game since that game, let alone won a game. 0-8, 59% completion percentage. 11-8 touchdown to interception ratio, which in modern football is terrible. 6.5 yards per attempt and a passer rating of under 80. 79.7 passer rating.
They just paid him.
And they just paid him like a month ago. Yeah.
It's just immediately how he rewards.
0-3 and looking completely out of sorts on Monday Night Football.
He has offensive line issues as well. And look, with Trevor Lawrence, if you're evaluating his contract or anything else like that, you're going to point to the consistency. He's got several stretches of really good football play in his career. So I'm not sleeping on Trevor Lawrence. I think the fact that he's got a rookie wide receiver and then also Gabe Davis, free agent pickup, that it could be a matter of time until things all of a sudden click, and maybe the pass protection remains an issue. That's where the Texans' big area of opportunity is versus the Jaguars. The Jags' offensive tackles have not played well, and the Texans' defensive ends have played well.
Yep.
So that's you couldn't make it any simpler. Hey, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, go to work.
Yep. Number five. This isn't even like an X's and O's thing. Let's get a man fired. How about that? Let's get Doug Peterson and his center part hair fired on Sunday. The Texans, I did this same exercise on my podcast, Seth, that drops this morning, the Utopia, my preview. And the more I talked about the Texans letting mediocre teams hang around with them, the more I talked about it. The Texans, largely since the beginning of last year, have done one of two things. They've won a lot of games where they've let inferior teams or teams that don't deserve to be hanging around, letting them hang around and then winning it in the end, or getting blown out by teams that are equal or better than them. That's the two things they've been doing the most. And the more I talked about it, the more agitated I got. I'm like, guys, you are so much better than this. Like, you finish a team. If you get up by 10-0 or 14-0, I don't want to be sweating this thing out in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying I'm going to be angry if you're not up 14-0 or 17-0. If this is a game where it's 17-17 going into the fourth quarter because they've been going back and forth and back and forth, then so be it. I can live with that. But it's these games where you get up by double digits, and it's these games where you allow football stupidity to let teams hang around. You gotta stop with this, man.
Like, you're just not ready for prime time.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's a classic. Wow. The feeling I had after that, the Vikings game, was, oh, we're right back to where we were versus the Ravens in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Except that without the excuse of injuries.
Right.
You know, like, at least versus the Ravens, Nico was your only good wide receiver. Hey, you got the interior offensive line is too young and they're all backups. Now you're as close to full strength as any NFL team can expect to be these days. And it was just a non-competition versus the Vikings.
I was thinking about this last night. I think this team has good survival instincts. Like, I think once they get into a game that's close, I trust that they can do a lot of the right things in the last 5 minutes of a game to go close the deal. I don't think they have a real good killer instinct right now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they're not good at putting their foot on the throat of an opponent that they've got down right now.
Yeah.
So
Doug Peterson, I'm watching the Menendez brothers docudrama
on
Netflix right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at both Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence kind of like when the Menendez brothers, little rich kids, were in prison.
Yeah.
And they were not ready for prison. they were not. This is not what their upbringing had prepared them for.
Okay.
So that's where Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson are right now.
So
let's just go ahead and make them into what they are. You know, just let's just go ahead and let's get them beat with let's get them beat in the corner of their cell.
Someone needs to take the graphic from that docudrama and put their faces on the two Menendez brothers right there.
Yeah, you know what it is? Yeah. It's like there's a scene in prison where one of the Menendez brothers wears a wig, and like the really good looking, most popular one wears the most popular Menendez brother wears a
quite
wig.
Quite the accomplishment.
There's a scene in the shower where somebody rips his wig off. That's what I want to do to Doug Peterson. Rip his wig off.
Yeah, center part wig. Last one, my prediction, 27-17 Texans. That's my prediction for the game. On Sunday, noon kick here on Sports Radio 610. All right, let's get to headlines. We'll get to the injuries with the Texans, including a significant one that popped up yesterday, Thursday Night Football. Big retirement of an Astros legend, and I am not using the word Astros legend or the moniker ironically at all. This guy is an Astros legend. We'll get to that and a whole lot more in headlines next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans and the injury report from yesterday. Texans-Jags on Sunday at noon. And as of right now, it looks like Joe Mixon will not play. He's not been practicing. He's week to week, according to, I believe, D'Amico Ryan said that earlier this week. Tank Dell has not practiced this week. It's not expected that he'll play. Damian Pierce has not practiced. We'll wait and see what happens with him. Today's injury report will be a big key. Two things happened with the injury report yesterday that are worth noting. Jimmy Ward went from limited to not practicing with a groin injury. He was limited Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. Maybe that's just a function of managing the injury. He's an older guy. The big one is Nico Collins popping up as limited with a hamstring yesterday. That's a problem. He might be the best receiver in football right now.
It's a big old problem without Nico Collins, who is the straw that stirs the drink in a lot of ways, whether he's getting the ball or not. I guess the question about who will be wide receiver one for the Texans that we had in the preseason, I think probably the most popular choice was Nico Collins, I think. And I don't look at it as from a fantasy perspective, but okay, who's your actual numero uno, this is the go-to guy that's most dependable? I think that's been very clearly Nico Collins, though, through the first three games.
Yeah, no doubt. As far as injuries on the other side, the Jags are dealing with their own stuff. Foye Oluokun, their inside linebacker, has a foot injury. And from what I gathered from when he sustained the foot injury last Sunday, it was expected he was going to be out for a while. Evan Engram has yet to play this year, their tight end. That would really help if he didn't play. He was a 100-catch guy last year for Trevor Lawrence. He's really good. Devin Lloyd, their young inside linebacker, first-round pick out of Utah last year, also out yesterday. So they've got three guys not practicing, but they're three pretty significant guys, including their two inside linebackers right now. So, that's big if you're a Texan fan.
And look, the Jags play a lot of man defense. A big question would be, all right, are they going to be like other teams have been versus the Texans and just play a lot of the cover two shell stuff that limits the deep balls? If they decide to be aggressive, this is a real good opportunity for the Texans to, if Nico Collins is healthy, to really take the top off that defense.
It's fun, man.
Really, let's see the explosive version of this Texans offense.
Yeah, we got the football weekend kicked off last night as we continue with headlines. I don't know, it was a close game, I guess. That's the nicest thing I can say about this game between the Cowboys and the Giants, because it was not a fun watch. Between the Cowboys basically not being able to go two plays without committing a penalty in the first half, and the Giants moving the football but stalling literally every time they got into scoring range. They kicked five field goals in the game. 20-15 the final score, and that was an excruciating watch for me.
It was a really annoying game. Yeah. There were a lot of penalties in the first half. Brian Daboll was very Bill O'Brien like, and let's remember the team motto they have up in their front office is tough, smart, dependable.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Daboll and Bill O'Brien share some common resume items.
That works every time, yeah.
The most frustrating and Bill O'Brien like thing in this game was that Brian Daboll, he was aggressive on short yardage plays. He went for it three times in the game on fourth down, but the one time he didn't, it was fourth and goal from the three, the beginning of the third quarter, and they chose to kick a field goal when they were, you know, which didn't
they were down five.
It was already a one-score game at that point.
Yeah.
Chose to kick a field goal. He would go for it again two more times after that, but they didn't. The Giants didn't get past the. They got past the 50 one more time that half.
Yeah,
like it was just. It was a really frustrating. If you're a Giants fan, that was a really frustrating game. Daniel Jones didn't do anything to look like he's worth his contract or anything like that. It was just a boring, ugly football game. Sean, just I was checked. I wanted real quick to watch the highlights this morning. Usually when the NFL puts out their YouTube highlights, they're usually like somewhere between 13 to 16 minutes. This one was almost 10 minutes flat. Like, that's how boring a game
it was.
Yeah,
that's how few
highlights
there
was. Almost nothing interesting happening in this game.
It was, man. It was like, man, I shaved my legs for this, as they say. You know? Like,
yeah.
So 20 to 15, the Cowboys win. And we're off and running on a football Friday and a football weekend here in week four of the NFL. Marwin Gonzalez retiring from baseball, and to which my first thought was, okay, who does he play for? I thought Marwin might have retired already. He's been playing in Japan the last couple of years, so he just finished up his season over there and announced his retirement. I don't think it's a stretch to say Marwin Gonzalez is an Astros legend. I know he's not going to be a Hall of Famer or anything. I know that he was as embroiled in the sign-stealing scandal as anybody.
He was the one guy who actually benefited from it overall. The advanced stats, when they broke it down, there was a point where the Astros actually looked like they were actually suffering from it because teams were on to it. But he endured, and he continued to profit from the sign-stealing on through the end of the season, yes.
And he got paid by the Twins the following season, 2 years, $21 million.
And never went on to do a single thing like he did in 2017.
Not even close. Yes. Not even close. When he led the team in RBI. So that's what I'm saying. Marwin Gonzalez, Astro legend, because he wasn't just a player on that team. He was a key guy on that team, man. Like, they played him everywhere. He came through. He had over 90 RBIs that year. And garbage can or no garbage can, the home run against Kenley Jansen, I will say it till the day I die, unless there's several more hits like it. The home run against Kenley Jansen to tie game two of the World Series is one of the probably five most important hits in the history of the team. Because if they lose that guy, that's their closer. That's the Dodgers' closer. He's getting ready to go up 2-0 in the World Series on you. And Marwin Gonzalez hits a home run in the ninth inning to tie that game. And the Astros go on to win that game, and they go on to win the World Series. I don't think they win the World Series, which ended up going seven games, if they go down 2-0 on the road at the Dodgers. And who knows what the mental effect is at that point, like what the butterfly effect is. But that Marwin Gonzalez home run, however you feel about Marwin, we will always have that. Love Marwin.
There was something about Marwin Gonzalez's scowl that just always made me happy.
Yeah.
He's just constantly scowling.
Yeah.
Mauricio Dubon's the opposite. He's always got a smile on his face.
Right.
But Marwin just he brought a certain edge to him that
he
I
did.
Liked and appreciated.
Gravitas, I think. Yeah. As far as the Major League Baseball playoff race goes, the AL pretty much set. as to who's going to be in the playoffs. It's more about where they're going to be slotted. The Astros will be the 3 seed. The Orioles will be the 4 seed. Those are the only things that are set in stone. But we know that the Yankees and the Guardians are going to be some combination of 1 and 2. The Yankees have the tiebreaker, and they're a game up on the Guardians. So if the Yankees win, basically if they win one more game, they're going to be the number 1 seed, and the Guardians will be the 2 seed. As far as who the Astros play, that's the other mystery right now. The 5 and 6 seeds, it looks like it's going to be Kansas City and Detroit in some order. They're tied right now. Kansas City has the tiebreaker over Detroit. So if they're tied at the end of the season, the Astros will play the Detroit Tigers. I would rather play the Kansas City Royals at this stage. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Twins are still lurking, but they lost again last night. If the Twins lose a game or Kansas City/Detroit win a game, Minnesota's out. Minnesota's going to be out. They're just mathematically, they're on a respirator right now.
The thing that I'm most happy about all of this is that as long as the Yankees don't screw the pooch, then it sets up for an ALCS versus the Yankees.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be. That's the way the baseball gods want it.
Yep.
It's the way life is best is when you beat the Yankees. And you know that I felt, you know, last year if they just could have drawn the Yankees, if the Yankees could have just done us the favor of making the playoffs, if the Astros could have played the Yankees in the ALCS, I feel like they would have been in another World Series appearance.
Sitting on our third World Series championship. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. All right, we're going to get to our Circle of Swarm at 7:20. You ready for the Circle of Swarm, Seth?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready. It was tougher this week. Last week it was tough because there were so many people that deserved to be in it.
Yeah.
This week it's tough because we need to populate it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But we're going to get six in there. We will get six in there. Circle of Swarm at 7:20. We'll hear from Bobby Slowick coming up next. The play callers and the players getting on the same... We heard on the same page a lot this week. We'll hear from Bobby Slowick about getting on the same page with the guys that need to go out and execute his game plan. We'll hear from the Texans OC coming up next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attack game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.